Good morning. Welcome to another Advent devotional from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel. So glad that you're with us here on this Friday morning. We are going to be taking a look at What Child Is This? And those of you who are regular viewers know that Friday is Grogu Mug Day. And I did not plan it this way. I really didn't, I promise. But what child is this? You know, a little bit funny. But only in a sort of pastor dad joke funny way. All right. Our passage for today is Luke 2, 5 through 7. This is a beautiful Christmas carol. It's another one where the tune is perfect for the words. Although unlike O Come, O Come, Emmanuel that we looked at last Friday, where the tune and the words were created together and date back 1,000 years, this one was a poem first called The Manger Throne that was written by William Chatterton Dix in 1865. And then the tune is a traditional English folk tune called Greensleeves, and it was joined to the words probably about 1871, about 6 years later. But ever since then, this is the tune that you sing What Child Is This to. It fits perfectly for many of the same reasons that O Come, O Come, Emmanuel fits perfectly. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this time together. Thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us another day of life. We are always completely dependent upon you, for everything good comes from you. We have nothing but what your grace has given us. And so we praise you for your faithfulness to us. We praise you for another day of life. We praise you most of all for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior and King. We love you for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What child is this? Let's take a look at the words, and then we'll do our scripture study, and then we will listen to the carol itself. So, What Child Is This? Was written in 1865, as I said, by William Chatterton Dix. When William Dix wrote this, he was actually the manager of an insurance company. An insurance manager wrote this famous Christmas carol. And of course, he was a Christian, but he had been afflicted with an unexpected and severe illness that resulted in him being bedridden and suffering from severe depression. And that near-death experience and the deep depression he was in brought about a spiritual revival in his heart. He began to read the Bible. He began to really seek the Lord, and he wrote hymns. He wrote Alleluia, Sing to Jesus. He wrote As with Gladness, Men of Old, which is one of my favorite carols about the coming of the kings. And then sometime around this time, around Christmas of 1865, he wrote a poem called The Manger Throne. And then it was later added to a very prestigious collection of carols called Christmas Carols Old and New. And in that edition, it was joined to the music Greensleeves, which is a traditional English Christmas carol. What's interesting about this as well is that it was written in Great Britain. William Chatterton Dix was English, but it's been much more popular in America than it has been in Great Britain since then. Traditional English melody, English author of the words, but it's been more popular overall in America than it has been in Great Britain. He's searching, he's asking, he's seeking, he's wondering, and then he's worshiping. What child is this, who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste, to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. Why lies he in such mean estate, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear, for sinners hear the silent word is pleading. Nails, spear shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. Hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and myrrh. Come, peasant, king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise the song on high. The virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born, the babe, the son of Mary. Many popular recordings of this song omit the second half of the second verse, which is my favorite part of this Christmas carol and why this might be my favorite Christmas carol. The tune, Greensleeves, and those words, nails, spear shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you, hail, hail, the Word made flesh, the babe, the Son of Mary. Powerful words. Let's look at Scripture, even more powerful words, far more powerful, the living and active Word of God. Luke chapter 2. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Very familiar, very beautiful section of God's Word. Very simple and direct is Luke's telling of this birth narrative of the original Christmas story. Many Bible scholars believe that Luke, who was a historian and who was not himself an eyewitness of these things, he said he endeavored to compile a faithful account of the things which happened. So many Bible scholars believe that he went and talked to Mary, and that he got from Mary her own account of what happened. Because in Luke, the focus is very much on Mary and what she's doing and what she's thinking. Whereas in Matthew, the focus is more on Joseph and who Joseph is and what he's thinking and what he's doing. By the way, the gospel that focuses most clearly on Jesus is John. John 1 is what I call the Christmas according to John. Focusing on the Word made flesh, that line from What Child Is This comes from John chapter 1. But we have this focus on Mary. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. She was a teenage girl. We don't know how old she was. Like I said, the Bible doesn't really tell us that much about Mary, other than that she was the cousin of Elizabeth, who was her older cousin, and that her pregnancy was 6 months later than Elizabeth's pregnancy, and that she was young. She was a betrothed young virgin. She had not known a man, and she was probably in her teenage years, maybe 15, 16, maybe as young as 14, maybe as old as 17. We just don't know. A lot of speculation on that that's pointless, really. What we know is that she gives birth to Jesus here. Now, some people, because there's not much said here, but because Jesus is the Son of God and he's sinless and perfect, they imagine that this birth was painless and easy and, you know, that Mary didn't have any problems. But she was far from home. She was there with her husband, who had never attended on a childbirth before, and it was a normal childbirth, as far as we know, which was painful and bloody and difficult with great travail. The Bible uses the term of the imagery of childbirth, like a woman in labor, birth pains. Powerful imagery. The Bible uses that repeatedly. And I don't think there's any reason to think that Mary had anything other than, you know, serious birth pains. Her first time giving birth as a teenage girl, this would not have been easy. And they were in a place where he was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, the inn here translates a Greek word that probably doesn't mean your local Motel 6, right? This isn't the local hotel, the innkeeper. We always have in our nativity plays the innkeeper, who very gruffly turns them away and says, "Oh, there's no more room." And that's a possibility, but it's not probably the best way of looking at the possibility of what's happening here. Rather, in the homes around Bethlehem, it was very common for people to live in cave homes. Near the Shepherd's Chapel in the town of the Night Watch, which is near Bethlehem, a short walk away, you go to Shepherd's Field and you go to the Shepherd's Chapel, and it is built approximately where they believe that the angels came and appeared to the shepherds, and we'll talk about that next week in more detail. But underneath is a cave home, and it's an old cave home. People were living in caves in that area for years. And if you go to the Church of the Nativity, which is the church that's been built on top of the site where it's believed that Jesus was born, if you go to the heart of it, it's a cave. It's hard to even tell that it's a cave because it's been so ornately decorated and made into a church sanctuary, but it is a cave. And so this word for an inn, it could be an inn or a lodging place. It could also be the eating room or the dining room or the main room of the house. And when we stood in the cave home that's sort of down below the Shepherd's Chapel, you could tell it's this cave home, right? Just a cave. And on one end of the home, there was a place where they would have eaten their family meals, and where when they're not eating, they could push the table and chairs aside, and where people could sleep on the floor. People didn't have homes like we have today with separate bedrooms and upstairs and downstairs, especially if you're living in a cave home. Cave home is very convenient because you've got no need for heating and air conditioning and all that kind of stuff, but you have what you have, right? You sleep where you sleep. At the other end of the cave, and it's a pretty big cave, but at the other end of the cave, you have the place where the animals would have been brought in to be sheltered at night. And that's where you would have had a manger to feed those animals. The word manger, if you've had any French background, you might recognize it. Manger is the French word for eat, to eat. It's just the eating place. It's the feeding trough for the animals. So you put the manger there, just a little probably wooden trough, and you put it there and you fill it with food, and the animals come in from out of the elements and they shelter down. But they shelter down on the other end of the cave from where the family is sitting and sleeping. So it was crowded. There's no place for them. Also, if you're giving birth at night, there's not an appropriate place for that to take place in the main area of the home, all that's involved in labor and delivery. So it could be that there was no place for them in the inn is really saying there was no appropriate location for childbirthing within the main part of the house. And so they went to the other end of the house, to the cave, and that's where she gave birth. She wrapped her firstborn son in swaddling cloths because that was normal. She laid him in a manger because that's what was available. Very poor, very simple, very plain. Which is why I love that Greensleeves is the tune that's being attached to What Child Is This? It's a simple, plain folk tune, easily played on a guitar. And yet, it has about it an air of mystery and wonder and longing that is similar to the feel of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And so it's a wonderful tune for this. But what we see in this first Christmas, what we see in this birth of Jesus, is a very ordinary, very humble, very plain, very poor circumstance. And yet this is how God chooses to bring the Son of God into the world. Not in a palace, not in comfort, not in luxury, because the Son of God did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so even as he is born and wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger. We're going to look at that language a little bit more as to what that meant for the shepherds next week. But here comes the Son of God into the world in humility and in love. Well, let's listen now to What Child Is This? Is this, and that again is being done by Red Mountain Church. We've heard other songs from them in our Advent series from their wonderful Christmas album Silent Night. What Child Is This? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending forth your Son, the child who was born a king, the child who was born Lord of all. for he is the maker and the sustainer of everything. He is the image of God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were made, and in him all things hold together. We thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We thank you that he came to be pierced with nails and spear because of our sin and for our salvation. We thank you that he came in humility to redeem us, to ransom us, to rescue us. We thank you for our Savior. Help us to love him more and more day by day. We pray this in his name. Amen. 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 Well, if you are looking for a place to worship this Advent season, we welcome you to come out to Forest Hill Presbyterian Church on Sunday morning at 10:30. We meet at the Newport Terrace building at 23 Newport Drive in Forest Hill. If you're in the Harford County area and you don't have a church home and you're looking for a place to worship, please come and worship with us. Or if you know someone in Harford County who's looking for a place to worship, send them our way. We're a very warm and welcoming church, and we would love to have visitors come on Sunday to worship with us. You can learn more about our church on our website, foresthillpca.org, or just look at our Facebook page at Forest Hill PCA. Have a blessed day in the Lord, and may the joy and love of Christ fill your heart in this Advent season.